Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I truly appreciate it. Got a fun show for you today. I think you're going to dig it. So let's get into it. My guest today began her career as a social media and email marketing strategist before going out on her own. For the past 4 years, she's been running and growing Camela Social, an online marketing agency. And more recently, she started Heart Behind Hustle, where she helps coaches generate leads and get more clients. In this conversation, we discuss, amongst other things, going after it and the ability to create a plan and why you don't want to sell the plane. You want to sell the destination. Now, let's hack. Camela Gornia. How many times on this show have I told you to go to hacktheentrepreneur.com? It's my website. And you know by now that it's the center of our online presence for Hack the Entrepreneur. It reflects who I am and what the show's about and what we stand for. And it runs on WordPress. I use WordPress.com because it gives me the freedom and flexibility to share my voice, share my work, and share my way. Is it time to make your site your own? Then build it on WordPress.com. You don't need to do the coding or the design. WordPress provides all the tools you need to get your site up and get your site running. Plus, you can sell things almost immediately because WordPress offers powerful e-commerce options ranging from a simple and effective buy button to a complete online e-commerce store. Plans, they start at just $4 a month, and they include a custom domain so you can get your site name exactly the way you want to. Remember, not just my site, not just all of my sites, but nearly 30% of all the websites on the internet run on WordPress. To get started today with 15% off any new plan purchase, go to wordpress.com/hack to create your own website. That's wordpress.com/hack for 15% off a brand new website. We're back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest from sunny California. Camela, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm really looking forward to this. Let's jump into it, shall we?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. Camela, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I think the biggest thing that I do is just going after it. I think a lot of people come up with ideas, and I think there's no shortage of ideas out there. People constantly have ideas. That's where there's so many people that are entrepreneurial but aren't actually entrepreneurs. I think it's the ability to actually create a plan and then move forward with that plan. So putting specific deadlines in place and then doing the thing that's actually going to be uncomfortable but will get you the results.
I like it. I like it. This, let's just touch on this quickly. This people that are entrepreneurial, but aren't actually entrepreneurs.
Yeah. It's funny. So I'll tell you how I know this. This is going to be really weird. I'm on dating apps. Well, I'm not currently on dating apps, but I have been on dating apps forever. And a thing that I had on there is like, hey, I'm Camela. I'm an entrepreneur. And then people would message me, like guys would message me, and they'd be like, oh, what kind of business do you want to start? I'm like, what? What do you mean? I already own a business. I have owned businesses for years. I was like, wow. So there is this misconception of like, I thought it was a misconception of like, if you say you're an entrepreneur, that means like you are not really a business owner. You just kind of want to have a business. And I think a lot of people think that way. And a lot of people associate themselves as entrepreneurs when they're actually just entrepreneurial. They think in the way like, I want to have a business and I want to do this thing and I want to do these things. but they're not actually entrepreneurs in terms of like what an entrepreneur is. Like, you haven't started a business, you haven't made it profitable, you haven't done these things to like own the business. So that's where that's coming from.
But once somebody, they have that sort of spark, that feeling to do it, and then they do start a business, are they now an entrepreneur?
I think so, yes. Like, once they actually do something with that idea, then you can like, I mean, I don't know, maybe there is a specific way that people categorize it. That's just how I categorize it. Like, once you have actually gone through and created the business, it's like out of your head and you're actually getting it out there. Like, yeah, you can call yourself an entrepreneur. But before you've done that, like, you're entrepreneurial. You're thinking about it. You're a wantrepreneur, right?
So can being an entrepreneur be taught?
Yeah, I think being an entrepreneur can be taught. I think it, you know, that's for most people, they were taught how to do it, whether it was working through coaches or just kind of doing the thing. Like, nobody taught me how to be an entrepreneur. I actually was an entrepreneur before I realized I was an entrepreneur. But it's like, you just go for it, right? Like, you just create the thing. And at least in my experience, it's been like, I wanted to create this cool thing, like my blog or whatever, and my photography thing. Like, I started that and I made money from it, but I didn't really see myself as an entrepreneur. It was more like, I kind of want to get this thing going, and just money is just a nice little side benefit. And that's how it worked for me. So through that, then, you know, learning to make it more profitable and generating even more revenue, that's what I needed to learn specifically. But apparently I was an entrepreneur the entire time. So.
Okay. So we need to unwrap this a little bit, because you started a blog for fun. It started making money, and that was just a side benefit, which I know there's people listening and that's like the dream. Not just like, oh, well, that's also something on the side that's cool about this, that I make money. And people are looking at you like, wow, you're blogging and making like money at it. That's amazing. But you said you didn't think of yourself as an entrepreneur, and lots of people sort of don't when they get started. But was there something that happened that made you realize that, like, well, damn, I am absolutely an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I actually didn't start seeing myself as an entrepreneur until I had my coaching business. So that's going back to 2014. That's when I started my coaching business and consulting. I was doing marketing consulting and helping people with kind of like mindset and entrepreneurship. Like, it was a little bit unclear in the beginning. And I was going through that. And that's when I really started to get more intentional with my business. And I even started to think about like, oh, I would like to quit my job and do this full time. Because with the previous ones, you know, there were side hustles. I actually wanted to have a day job at the time. Like, I was never the person that wanted to have a business and do that full time. Like, I just wanted to do things. Like, it wasn't about the container. It was about being able to do things and have the freedom to create and whatever. So for me, I realized that in order for me to have the freedom, I actually can't be in a job. And that's when I started to realize that. And that's also when I started to build this particular business, the coaching consulting business, and going through, and I started working with some coaches, and I really realized that I needed to get serious and committed in order to see this business grow to six figures, for example, because doing it kind of willy-nilly, like, wasn't going to make it happen, because it was just like a fun thing that I didn't take seriously. And if you don't take something seriously, then why would it get to a huge amount serious level, right? That's when I had to like start really seeing myself differently, and the fact that, like, you know, this is a business and I am an entrepreneur, and it's time that I start acting like, and I start like really seeing of like, what do I want to create in my life and my business? What am I able to create? And do I commit to actually doing that? Do I commit to doing whatever it takes to make it succeed? And the answer is yes.
But this has sort of been a process. This is 4 or 5 years at this point, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and because I know how in there you said, well, at the beginning, it wasn't really that clear, but now it is. It's very clear what you do. Mm-hmm. And so I love the fact that one thing that you just started, didn't worry about, well, I need absolute clarity or else what will I do? But sort of like, how did that sort of iterative process between starting, finding clients, and then finding sort of a clarity on actually what it is you are and do?
Yeah, well, I really think that there is no way for you to get clear unless you actually do the work, unless you actually go through and, like, for example, like, who do you want to work with? Well, you can't really know that until you work with a whole bunch of people and then decide who you like to work with. Because what we think theoretically is not often going to be exactly what happens in real life. I thought I wanted to work with people on mindset because I studied psychology in school and it was just interesting. And I, for some reason, was telling myself that I don't want to help people with marketing that much. Like, it was, I didn't think people would pay me for it, which is ridiculous. I was like, it has to be hard. It has to be challenging for me. And, you know, psychology, mindset, ooh, that's a little bit challenging. That's going to be, so I was like, that's what I want to do in the beginning. And then as I actually work with clients, I realized how much I actually wanted to get into the marketing and I wanted to help them with the strategy and not just, you know, oh, how do you feel about that? Like, that doesn't really, it wasn't that exciting for me. I really wanted to get into the details, the specifics of like, here's what we're going to do and digging into that. And I wouldn't have known that if I just thought about it and planned it out, which is why, you know, a lot of people, I see so many people that want to start businesses and they try to make everything perfect and they try to find this perfect, amazing, you know, amount of clarity. And then they don't launch for months, if not years, because they're looking for that clarity. And that clarity isn't going to come because even if it does, it's going to shift as soon as you start doing the thing anyways.
Yeah. And obviously with, I mean, working within marketing and digital strategy, obviously your psychology degree would come into a huge amount of use as well.
Yeah.
Because that's really how it's done. So in like 4 years ago, you get this idea, you're not clear, but how is it that you go about acquiring customers or clients?
So I started out by, so the my first few clients were people that I just like knew around. I wasn't friends with them because I think it's kind of weird to coach people that are, that you're friends with, but they were people that either were following my other businesses, like my health blog or my photography business. So they're my very first client, paying client. So actually, to go back a couple of steps, I first started just doing free coaching sessions. And that's also where I was able to start getting some testimonials. I was able to start creating some of that clarity and like confidence, because in order to sell and sell an actual package that is like not just like a product or affiliate, which is what I was doing before, you need to have some confidence around being able to sell like, oh, okay, people actually like the stuff that I'm doing. So I need to do some free stuff first. And then my first client was, it was this woman that was following me as a photographer and she was trying to grow as a photographer. I've already been a photographer for a couple of years at that point, and she liked my work and she liked the fact that I was making a good amount of money from it. So she wanted my help around the mindset of things and also just like wanted me to be her mentor around that. So I believe what I did is I literally just told everybody about the fact that I'm open for coaching. Like I was looking for clients and I wasn't shy about it. I posted on Facebook. I emailed a bunch of people that I knew, and whoever expressed any level of interest, I got on the phone and I told them about, you know, what I have available. And, you know, the very beginning, my prices weren't very high. Like they were very, very reasonable. And it was, you know, because I didn't have the confidence, I wanted to make it as easy as possible for people to say yes and build that momentum. So I'm pretty sure every single client that I got in the very beginning was just based on me being visible and telling people, like not being shy about the fact that I'm looking for clients for it and not overthinking it either. You know, just going right for the thing that I wanted to get instead of trying to like, you know, build these crazy things like, oh, I need to have a bunch of articles on my blog and whatever, which is what I also did. But getting clients and building traffic, I think are a little bit different, especially for a service-based business. So I needed to just go right for, okay, how do I get clients? And that's what I did.
I love it. I love it. It was just hustle. You purely went out and hustled.
Yeah, totally.
Which
I think hustle is great.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely essential when you're starting out. Yeah. Like unless you're starting with a massive platform already, well, then it's different. But most of us aren't. But I love your idea of like doing the free coaching calls. I mean, we've all thought of it for like the testimonials and that sort of thing. But for the other side of it, which is just confidence in yourself, because once you get sort of that result for some people, you get so confident. Now it's like, now you can sell because you finally believe that you actually are the right person to help people.
Right.
But that's hard to do from standing still.
Right. Exactly. I was working with this one student that I had and, you know, she wanted to switch from doing done-for-you services into coaching. And it was just the biggest leap for her because she hadn't worked with coaching clients before. So she was literally in a space of like, would anyone even pay me for this? And no matter of me telling her, like, yes, people do this, like, people pay for this, none of it was helping, because she just needed to prove to herself that people would pay her and that she actually has value to give as a coach, you know? So it's like, that's the same thing. It's like, you need to believe in yourself. You need to believe that you're able to provide a good service, or like just be a good mentor or whatever. Like, you need to prove that to yourself first, because if you don't believe in it, you're not going to be able to sell it.
And now 4 years later, Camila, how are you, like, what's your main sort of channel for acquiring new clients today?
Yeah, my biggest one, I would say, is my list. So it's a little bit shift. I mean, it's a little bit, there's a couple of things. So I still do outreach, a little bit of outreach. So that's one channel. I think the biggest thing for me is growing the list and getting people into like sales mechanisms. So I'll do a launch, maybe I'll do like a webinar to generate some phone calls. And then obviously, like, through that, just people reach out just from who knows where. And they schedule calls, you know, like, I don't know where they find them. Somebody reached out to me from Instagram the other day. And they're like, yeah, I need to talk to you. I'm like, great. Okay, cool. So it's like just having that presence. And I've always believed in building an audience and being able to provide value for that audience and then moving people from one place to another. So I will also say, though, that getting clients for group programs and private coaching group programs and courses are a little bit different than getting clients for high ticket private coaching than it is for getting clients for done for you services. Because with my other brand, Camila Social, like, we do done for you services like Facebook ads and stuff like that, and marketing consulting. So for those clients, those are referral based mostly, because it's very specific. And we work with a few people, and then other people tell other people. And that's how most of our clients come through. Like, we don't do very much marketing for that business. The Heart Behind Hustle, because we have courses, we have workshops, you know, events, private coaching, you know, whatever. It is a little bit more audience building. So there's, you know, I'll go live streaming and then I'll talk about my offer, or I'll get people into my Facebook group and I'll talk about my offer every once in a while, or I'll do a free challenge or a webinar, or, you know, whatever, just kind of go through the process of doing a launch or an evergreen launch or whatever. And then get people to be aware that there's an opportunity for me to speak to them or buy a thing, depending on what I'm trying to get them to move into the next. But yeah, it's very audience driven right now.
And yeah, it is like making yourself sort of ubiquitous and everywhere. So people are seeing you on Instagram or Facebook or Pinterest, whatever it happens to be. Does this work well outside of the marketing space?
Oh, totally. Yeah, absolutely. Most of my clients are not in the marketing space. I work with a lot of like health coaches or life coaches. I mean, most of my clients within Heart Behind also are coaches or course creators. So, or like designers or whatever. So yeah, all of that is the same thing. It's just like knowing who you're talking to and then providing value and solving their problems. And it's the same exact thing. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a therapist or if you're, I don't know, a craftsperson, like, you give them what people are looking for and then get them on your list and then provide the right offer that they're going to actually be excited about. And that offer has to be, hey, you know, I'm going to help you solve your problem, versus, hey, here's a coaching thing, right? Because no one's going to buy coaching. People are going to buy the transformation or the outcome though. So it doesn't even matter what industry you're in. Like, I had an intimacy coach, and, you know, I'll tell you, that was a little bit difficult to run Facebook ads for, but we nailed it down. And it was, you know, it was the same thing. It's just like, what are people struggling with? What are their pain points? And then do you have the solution to that? And then you're bridging the gap with your content and your value and then getting them to the next step.
What were their customers struggling with?
So they were, they were struggling with intimacy, specifically in a marriage. So instead of getting divorced, they like, here's how we're going to rekindle the fire in your marriage, so you don't have to get divorced.
So that was the outcome they were buying, not, yeah, they wanted, I want to stay a digital together. Course I can go through.
Yes. Yeah. It was like how to rekindle the fire in your marriage.
Is this like the old saying, like, where people don't buy like new drill bits, they actually buy a hole that they need?
I haven't heard that before.
That's like a classic one from like the 50s. One of those classic copywriters was like, nobody buys a drill bit. Everybody needs a hole of a specific size. And your drill bit just gets them that. But they don't care about what your drill bit is.
Right, exactly. Yes, yes, totally. That's exactly it. So it's like, you know, don't sell the plane, sell the destination.
Yeah.
Like all the airlines, you know, like, yeah, they'll talk about like, we have great seats and stuff. But like at the end of the day, you just want to get to Hawaii. Like, I don't like flying and I have to fly all the time, but I'm just, what's getting me through is the fact that I'm going to be in Vegas like in a few days, you know, like
exactly.
That's the thing.
Don't sell the plane, sell the destination. I like that. So this sort of takes us into, say, projects. And so rather than talking about sort of marketing projects, you've talked about courses, you've talked about new sort of offerings. So you could take either of those as a new project. But I would like to know, Camila, like right now, I mean, you said at the very beginning that obviously us as entrepreneurs, we have a ton of ideas. There's no shortage of them, but we can't act on all of them. So what's the process you go through today to decide that a project is worth your time, energy, and resources?
So there's a couple of things I do. So I'm very guided by how I feel in terms of, am I actually genuinely excited about something? Because if I'm not excited about something, I'm not going to follow through with it. I'm not going to have the consistency and the drive and the determination to see something come to fruition. So that is actually the first thing that I always go through. Like, cool idea. Okay, cool. Is this something that I'm genuinely like, do I actually want to see this through for weeks? Like, am I going to get bored of this within a couple of days? You know, so that's the first thing that I go through. If the answer is, yeah, like this is actually something I want to see come to fruition, then great. So then I ask myself, like, is this idea or is this project potentially going to make it harder for me to like get to my ultimate vision or ultimate results? Because I know that I personally have the tendency to overcomplicate things for myself or, you know, go the difficult route versus the fastest path to cash or the lowest hanging fruit. Like I always have to stop myself and, you know, I didn't know this. I had to, this came out through years of coaching and work on myself, but I'm very aware that I like to overcomplicate things because I like being in the trenches and I like, you know, tweaking things and, you know, building and stuff. So I need to ask myself like, okay, well, is this actually going to get me results like when I want to see the results? Or is this something that's a longer term? That's you know, is this something that I actually want to do that's going to help me build my vision? Or is it just a fun thing that is going to be distracting to me? Because it's very easy to find things that are distracting, right? So another example, like one of my amazing clients, she's also very similar to me, except she has a smaller audience. So she's a coach, not in the marketing space. She's a regular like people's face. And so she wanted to build out a funnel. And then she started out with this gigantic plan of like, we're going to do this and this and this. I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. Before this is even out and published, like this, it's going to take months. So what is the actual goal that you want to get? Oh, you want to get clients for your, you know, this program. Well, why don't we start with something simple? So we even see if it's working before you spend weeks or months on building this thing out and then only to find out that's not even what you want to do, or it's not getting your results at all or whatever. So I always have to ask myself the same question. I always have to ask myself, like, is there a simpler way to do something? Do I really feel like this is going to help me? Or is this something that's just going to be this like shiny object or distraction because it's easy for me to find those things, because I also have no shortage of ideas. So that's the other frame that I go through. And if the answer is like, yeah, this is actually going to be like, this actually makes sense strategically, this is going to help you. And, you know, whether it's building the long-term thing or if it's, you know, getting money now, like whatever it is, yes, this is going to help you. So, and then from there, like, is this actually matching what I have available in terms of time? Is it making sense in terms of like, okay, maybe I'm doing a launch right now and then I get this amazing idea to do whatever, do some campaign that isn't tied to this launch, but sounds really cool. Like maybe it's not the best idea for me to detract my attention from the thing that is actually already happening. Like maybe I can put that attention into that a little bit more so that it is performing even better versus, again, a little bit of a distraction, even though it might support the ultimate vision. Right. So it's kind of looking at the time balance and seeing what actually makes sense and then scheduling it in. If it does make sense, okay, what needs to happen and how is that going to happen? Prioritizing with everything else that I'm doing and then going through and actually doing it. So a little bit less of a scientific way than you might hear from other people.
Right. And that's cool. With like, I like the emotional basis to it. But throughout it, three or four times you mentioned this sort of like ultimate destination or vision.
Yeah.
How often are you revisiting that place?
All the time. All the time. It's so easy for people to, I really think it's so easy for people to just like come up with a really cool, like find a shiny object and it's like, ooh, I can make money like this. and I can make money like that. And they don't really ever ask themselves like, okay, but what, how does your ideal business look like? You know, because like a great example I'll share with you, Camila Social, originally I was building it out to be an agency where we would do Facebook ad management and, you know, different things within the social media realm and the done for you side. And I was actually building out a team to make it an agency. And we had, I think it was never really that big, but we probably had like 6 or 7 people at one point. And then I actually had to revisit that vision. I'm like, well, wait a second. Like, I don't actually want an agency because I don't really like managing people. And I like being in the trenches and doing the stuff. And so that's why we shifted. And I'm like, okay, I only work with a very few people so I can actually do the work that I enjoy doing versus having to manage people. And I don't want an agency. I want it to be more like consulting and, you know, some of the stuff that I actually do for clients too. And that was that thing I needed to revisit. Like, ultimately, how do I want my business to look like? How do I want my life to look like? How do I want to serve my clients? And within that brand, I just knew it. I wanted it to be this like nice little side thing that I do to get clients results because it's easy and it gives me a nice boost of confidence because I get to do the work. So I know people are going to get results versus like hoping that they do the work, like with coaching. You know, you don't really have as much control with coaching because it's like the client still at the end of the day has to do the thing. If they don't do the thing, they're not going to see results. And that sometimes that happens. So less of a confidence booster if they don't do the work.
Exactly.
So that's my like confidence booster business, if you will. And within Heartbeat and Hustle, like, so I constantly have to ask myself, like, if I come up with ideas, which I do all the freaking time, I have to ask myself, okay, so how do I actually, like, if things worked out the way that they, like, if I knew this worked out and I built this out to be this way, would I be happy? Would I actually want things to be looking like this? Or would I be going to another way of, like, for example, courses, like selling courses versus selling masterminds versus selling private coaching, you know? So a lot of people start out with private coaching and that's totally fine. And then asking yourself, okay, so a few years down the line, when you have an awesome business, like how does that look like? Do you want to be working with private clients only? Or do you want to be selling courses and supporting many students? Or do you want to have groups where you do events? Like, what does that actually look like? And allowing yourself to really, like, without any inhibitions, just dream and ask yourself, like, just honestly, what's coming through for you? And, you know, for me, it's like, I don't want to work with a lot of private clients. I want to have maybe 1 or 2 private clients, but that's about it because I like doing the marketing. Again, I'm a nerd. If I don't have time to do the tweaking, the marketing, the planning for the actual thing, I lose touch with, you know, just what I'm even doing. So that's, I needed to learn that about myself. And for example, if I was just focusing on getting private clients, because like somebody said, there's a great strategy to help it, it wouldn't really serve me because I would be building a business that is not how I want my business to look like. So it's, I really think that it's important for us to touch base with that as often as we can.
I totally fully agree with you. And at the beginning, you said sort of having like the ability to create a plan and sort of break it into smaller steps. When you have this sort of like end dream vision of what you want to create, is it necessary that you know all the steps to get there?
No, I don't think you have to know all the steps to get there because a lot of it has to do with trust and knowing that, like, if you believe that this is possible for you, even if it feels not possible whatsoever at this moment, as long as you have that trust that it will happen because you hold that vision for yourself, it will appear, like the opportunities will come to you and you can't even plan for some of these opportunities to come to you. You know, like it's almost like happens by magic, if you will. You just have to trust and believe that this is what you want to create for yourself. And then as you take the steps forward, know that they're going in the direction of where you want to go. And it doesn't have to be like, if you want to be a TEDx speaker and selling courses, but you have no list right now whatsoever, like, yeah, you're probably not going to be selling courses and making, you know, 7 figures from courses, but eventually you might, if you keep that as the vision, and you do little things to get you closer to that.
Very well said. Very well said. I like it. All right, Camila. Yeah. Well, this has been an absolute blast. I would like to wrap up on one final question, if I could.
Of course.
It's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. It seems to be, after talking to 400 and something entrepreneurs now, that we're always sort of projecting our personal and our business successes into the future, always looking to that sort of ultimate destination. And so it means that when we hit that next revenue metric in 3 months or stand on that stage in 6 months, we think we'll see ourselves as successful, yet we both know that we're just going to project it further into the future. which it's arguable that it is absolutely necessary to do that. But rather than doing that for this minute, Camila, I would love it if you would stop and turn around and look behind you at this whole journey, sort of up until today, the highs, lows, the wins, and the losses. But tell me just how you feel about it until right at this moment.
I feel awesome. I feel awesome because I didn't think that I would get to where I am right now. Like, I never thought it'd be possible for me to get to the place where I'm like living in California, for example, and, you know, living kind of the lifestyle that I do, and I'm not having a day job and just doing things that I'm excited with. Like, it's nuts, because I didn't really, you know, it's not like I had somebody show me how to do it in the very beginning. Like, it was just something I just followed my excited feelings. Like, it's really about like the excitability of like, oh, I want to do this, and following through with that and ending up here. It's awesome.
I like it. So there's lots of people listening, Camila. They've heard a lot about you. You've probably enticed and drawn some interest of some people. Can you tell them where they can track you down and tell them what you can do for them?
For sure. Yes. So there's a couple of ways. Like I said, I have two businesses. I have the Camila Social and Heart Behind Hustle. So if you're a coach or an expert and you would like some support or like how to market yourself online so you actually get seen in a way that positions you as an authority, and you want to do it in a way that's aligned with your personality, then I have a special free quiz that you can take. You go to heartbehindhustle.com/quiz, and it's really fun and nice. And if you want specific support on, like, you know, you want my eyes on your business around marketing strategy and how you're getting out there, how you're showing up when it comes to your business, then just reach out to me. You can reply to any of the emails or find me on social media, and I'm happy to talk.
Cool. What's the social media that you're on most?
I am on Facebook the most.
Cool. Okay. So we'll find a link to your Facebook, and we'll link to that in the show notes for everyone. Heartbehindhustle.com/quiz. Is that correct? Excellent. And then CamilaGornia.com is the main site if you want to check that out as well. So once again, thank you so much for joining me. Thanks so much for sharing so openly. And just keep doing what you're doing, Camila, because it's awesome to watch.
Oh, thank you so much, John. It was a pleasure to have me here. Like, I almost said to have you because I forgot that this is your podcast. That's what happens when that's what happens. Thank you so much for having me. You're awesome.
All right. So as much fun as I had during that conversation, I'm looking forward to this part of the show. I hope you are too. This is the part of the show where we get to go back. We go back through the conversation that Camila and I just had, except this time we look for that one thing. You ready? All right, let's do it. Let's find the hack.
There is no way for you to get clear unless you actually do the work, unless you actually go through and, like, for example, like, who do you want to work with? Well, you can't really know that until you work with a whole bunch of people and then decide who you like to work with. Because what we think theoretically is not often going to be exactly what happens in real life.
And that's the hack. Camila, you're really speaking to me here. I love this. I've tried to emphasize this throughout the years. And this is one of the greatest sort of hurdles that stops thousands of brilliant, awesome, cool things from being created and launched into the world. It's waiting for clarity before you start. Waiting for clarity on your market, on your idea, on exactly how you will implement it, on what it is you want to do. All of those things will never be fully clear to you. They will get more clear as you take action and move forward. But there's no way for them to get clear when you're standing still. Right? This isn't about, though, looking back and being like, oh, I wasted so much time now. No, it's about just pushing forward now. This ability to make a decision, decisiveness, it's key to an entrepreneur. It's key to creating things. And it's making that decision with all the available information you have right now. Being comfortable with the fact that you will never have all of the information, but once you take action, once you make that decision, you will gain more and more information. with that, you can sort of iteratively or like position yourself or reposition yourself or make new decisions based on that new information. And from that, you will get new information. That's just how life works. Try and think of something that you've planned out for 10 years and it's worked out exactly as it should. It never does. I want you, as badly as you want to do the things you want to do. But you can't do it if you sit there and wait for clarity. Kamala, thank you so very, very much. Now, sometimes I know that it's easier said than done to get started and to sort of get unstuck and get that momentum rolling so that you can, as I was just saying, start to gain more information, gather more information, and be able to move forward even more confidently with new information. Sometimes you need somebody to kick you in the ass, help you, guide you in the ways you need to, and sort of stand back with a bird's eye view of you and your situation and help you decide what it is you need to do first and then second. This is why I've created 30-minute coaching sessions. HackTheEntrepreneur.com/coaching. 30 minutes to get you unstuck. We get on the call, we figure out what your problem is, and then we move you forward. You're looking to ask your question, get the answer you need, and then get right back to work. And that's why I've created these coaching sessions. Not only that, but you're going to get an MP3 recording of the conversation so you can follow up on it. You're going to get back on track in 30 minutes. Plus, if you need this right now, you can get a turnaround time. You can get a time with me within 24 to 48 hours of you booking. If you're ready to get unstuck and get moving, go to hacktheentrepreneur.com/coaching. All right. It's been a blast. Kamala, thank you so much. And thank you out there for listening. I truly do appreciate it. As always, it's been an absolute blast. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.